Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is a memorial of the most holy name of Jesus. And from England, we hear from Father Richard Aunsworth, prior and parish priest of Holy Cross in Leicester, and lecturer in New Testament at Blackfriars in Oxford. His preaching today is entitled, He Was Called Jesus, and the reading is from the Gospel of Luke.
At the end of 8 days, when the child was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. That passage from the Gospel of St. Luke refers back to the story of the Annunciation, when Our Lady is told by the angel Gabriel, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." It's a well-known fact that the infancy narratives in the two Gospels that have them, Matthew and Luke, are very different, and indeed St. Matthew's Gospel has no account of the Annunciation to Mary at all, but instead tells us of an angel, unnamed but perhaps the same one, visiting St. Joseph in a dream to tell him of Mary's pregnancy. But there are some things they agree on. Firstly, that Joseph was not Jesus's biological father, and secondly, that the angel insists that the child must be named Jesus. Indeed, the angel in Matthew explains why more explicitly. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this is despite the fact that Matthew wants to claim that Mary's pregnancy fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." But they didn't call him Emmanuel, they called him Jesus, in the Greek original Jesus. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, with which the evangelists were familiar, and indeed which seems to have been the form of the scriptures that most of the earliest Christians used, this name Jesus is used for Joshua the son of Nun, who took over from Moses and led the people into the Promised Land, as well as Joshua or Yeshua, the first high priest after the people returned to the land from the Babylonian exile and rebuilt the temple. The original Hebrew versions of these names were either Yehoshua or Yeshua, which both seem to have something to do with the verb Yasha, meaning to save or liberate. Precisely what Jesus's parents called him, presumably in Aramaic, is not certain. And whether the link with the idea of salvation was obvious is equally unclear. And yet the angel is quite insistent. He must be called Jesus. My feeling is that this is deliberately to create a link between Jesus and the two Jesuses of the Old Testament, especially the first and most famous one. Not only did Joshua complete the task of leading the people of Israel into the Promised Land, but in doing so, he did what Moses had failed to do. Moses died on a mountain overlooking the land, a land that God has told him he would never enter. At the beginning of Deuteronomy, Moses recaps the story so far, rather like the beginning of a new episode of a TV show, and he recalls the time when the people of Israel failed in their faith at Kadesh Barnea. Even he failed in his faith at that time, and was condemned, along with that whole generation, to wander in the wilderness for the remainder of their lives. Only Caleb and Joshua, as Moses' successor, were spared to enter the land. I think if Caleb stands for the faithful remnant who received the promised land, then Joshua stands for the one who will bring Caleb into that inheritance. And Jesus shares a name with this first Joshua because he is the one who truly brings us, all the Calebs of the world, into the promised land of heaven itself. And he shares a name with Joshua the high priest, not only because he is our one true high priest, but because that first priestly Joshua represents the re-establishment of the temple and of true worship after the exile. Interestingly, the prophet Zechariah has a vision of this priest Joshua entering into the heavenly sanctuary and standing before the angel of the Lord, perhaps that same angel that visited Mary and Joseph. In any case, our true Joshua, Jesus, the son of Mary and son of God, has brought us into the promised land that Moses never brought us into, to stand before the throne of glory. He's led us out of the exile of sin and re-establish true worship in the newly built temple which is his own body. This, surely, is a salvation beyond anything that his Old Testament namesakes could ever have imagined.